I think a couple things have been made clear about the events of yesterday, that we are not going to be successful in defeating Islamic fascism by garrisoning America or our allies, but by having effective intelligence. It wasn't the transportation security agencies that defused and foiled this plot. It was good intelligence and intelligence programs that were able to follow this down and defuse this plot before it came to fruition. And I think it's vitally important for us to understand that the compromises that have been made of American intelligence over the last few months were serious. The intelligence community who leaked that information for whatever purposes must be pursued aggressively. And secondly, that the media has to take a much more responsible approach to defeating this Islamic fascist threat to America and to the free world than they have. But publishing it is also complicit with that activity. And so I would just say that you know, hopefully in the future, these types of events are not going to occur. These types of leaks are not going to occur, and publishing of those leaks will not occur, because the threat is a continual threat and a continuous one here in America as well as with our allies. Secondly, I think it just shows that these folks are very serious about continuing and bringing this war onto our shores and to our allies, not just in the theater of Afghanistan or the theater of Iraq or the theater of southern Lebanon, but they want to project this terrorist tactic throughout the free world. And we have to be vigilant in going after them aggressively in the Middle East, where they are, but we also have to be aggressive in making sure that whatever attempts to spread this violence to other areas is confronted forcefully. With that, I'll be happy to take whatever questions you have.
Senator?
Hello?
Senator?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tom Curry from MSNBC.
Yes.
Do you think it is now clear that, in political terms, that from now until Election Day, this campaign and this national debate will be totally dominated by national security? And do you think this terrorist plot focuses voters more on national security? And what's the advantage for you on that?
Well, I don't know if there's an advantage or disadvantage. That's not my concern. My concern has been, and the reason I gave the press club speech a few weeks ago, is that we have to begin to take this enemy more seriously than we have. One of the great concerns I have in any, in any conflict or any challenge that America faces is that we correctly define the challenge in front of us and that we have a plan and a direction to go ahead and meet that challenge. And one of the reasons I gave the speech that I gave at the press club was I thought we had to better define this enemy and clearly articulate that to the American public of what we're up against. That these are not isolated instances, but in fact, this is a coordinated Islamic fascist movement against us. It is to use an Arabic word. I don't like to use the word jihad because jihad I think has meanings that are both actually good and bad. The word that I prefer to use is haraba, which is an illegitimate war, contrary to Islamic law. And I think it is what's going on here is contrary to Islamic law, and what these radical fascists are doing, it's corrupting Islamic law to wage a war against democracy and the West. And we have to be very forthright as to who's involved, particularly Iran, which is the most problematic of all. And it's not surprising to me that we've seen orchestrated attempts by terrorist organizations backed by Iran, attacking either Israel or the West at a time when the focus used to be up until a few weeks ago on whether Iran was going to get nuclear weapons. So again, I'm very concerned about Iran. We need to move in the United States Senate on that. As far as the political ramifications, again, I'm not concerned about that. I think it's probably true that in the minds of Americans, that this is the preeminent issue, and it certainly is the preeminent issue in my mind.
Senator Santorum, this is Chris Mondix from the Philadelphia Inquirer. I tried to ask a question earlier, but it didn't come through. You seem to be saying earlier that these arrests bolster the Bush administration's case for, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the warrantless surveillance program that it had been conducting. But do you know whether or not that type of technique was used in this case?
You know, I don't know what. I don't have any information as to what techniques were used in this case or not. All I know is that intelligence capability needs techniques to be a very difficult and agile enemy. One of the things that I think we've learned about the war, whether it's in Afghanistan, Iraq, or what the Israelis are learning in fighting the Hezbollah, what we've been learning from ourselves, is that this is a much more accomplished and difficult enemy than we'd ever anticipated. And I think we have to come to that realization that these folks are tough, these folks are committed, these folks are willing to die for their cause. In many cases, they want to die for their cause. And that makes it a complexity and a level of degree of difficulty that I think we may have never confronted in this country's history, and the asymmetry of the threat that confronts us is just makes this much more complex. Which means we need as many. It was effective or used in this particular case. To me, is important. What is important is we have all the tools necessary within the intelligence community to be able to foil these plots before they're actuated.
Senator Santorum, this is Andrea Koffel with CNN. Could you explain when you saw the need to change the description of this movement and what it was that happened that made this an Islamic fascist movement? And if you could also elaborate a little bit on how and why you think it is, what evidence there is that the American people or the American public isn't taking the enemy as seriously as you think they should.
Well, let me answer the second question first. I think it's obvious to me that the public is not taking it as seriously as we should, because there would be very few people in America who would be for withdrawing our troops anytime soon or for pulling back from this confrontation if they believed that by doing so would be a serious national security threat to this country. One of the things I've learned, take your enemy seriously. If you don't respect your enemy and you don't identify and understand your enemy, you're whether you're bigger, stronger, better trained, better planned, doesn't matter. You're in pretty grave danger of losing that battle. And I think we're in a situation right now where we simply don't take the enemy seriously. We don't believe that they are a threat to America. We look at them and say, you know, these are a bunch of people living in caves. I mean, how can they defeat the greatest power in the history of the world? The bottom line is, it's just not a bunch of people living in caves. It's nation states with huge resources, like Iran. It's people who have a warped ideology, but that ideology is loosely based on Islam, which has a billion followers around the world. And as a result of that, what we saw in Great Britain is unusual. I mean, the most chilling thing of what's going on in Great Britain is these were homegrown, terrorists. These were homegrown, folks who were going to go out and commit atrocities against their own people. This is the frightening thing that makes this threat much more difficult than any threat that we've ever faced, any enemy that we've ever faced. And so I would suggest that that's why I believe that the American public is not convinced, because if they were convinced, they wouldn't feel the way they do about confronting this evil. Secondly, as far as what grounds do I have to understand of what this is all about, I just read what they say. Listen to Ahmadinejad's speeches. Listen to Bin Laden's speeches. I mean, they're very clear about what their intention is. I mean, they don't make any bones about what this is. This is a holy war. This is a war against everything that free people believe in, that the people who support democracies believe in. They think that democracies and the freedom that we have in the West is corrupt. They believe that it is dangerous. They believe that it is evil. and they are, without question, poised to go out and fight it.
No, I understand that, but, I mean, obviously bin Laden has been making those speeches for a number of years, long before 9/11. What is it that has changed in your mind to make this an Islamic fascist movement?
Iran is the key. I mean, Iran has been the fomenter of this for a long, long time behind the scenes. But Iran has now risen up and has been much more explicit about what their designs are. When they elected Ahmadinejad and his messianic view of Islam, of the hidden imam and the Shia Messiah, this is a fundamental shift in my mind as to what we're dealing with. A country that now has enormous resources and growing thanks to ridiculously high energy prices. And a desire now to bring about the end of times. Again, this is what he says. This is what Iran is now very explicit in detailing that they believe it is their objective to bring about the return of the hidden or 12th imam. This is something that is not widely reported and not widely known to the American people. I give speeches about this all the time, and people come up to me and say, "Gee, I don't know anything about this." We have not done a good job in explaining what Iran is all about, who is the principal cog behind this machine, and what their objectives are with respect to the West.
Could you elaborate on your contention earlier that the people who leaked the NSA spying information, the bank information, telephone records are traitors? I mean, what's your basis for that?
My thesis is that these are programs that were important for us to be able to confront an enemy at time of war. And when people leak that kind of information to me, that is traitorous activity. Any more than someone would leak information to our enemy during the Cold War, they were considered traitors to me. This is identical. We're leaking this information that now gives our enemy the ability to be able to avoid intelligence capability.
Senator, going back to your comments about Iran, obviously many people believe that Iran is behind the violence right now in Lebanon. But are you saying that there is a direct link between Iran and al-Qaeda and the operation that almost happened yesterday?
I have no idea whether there's a direct link. But I think what we tend to focus too much on, in my opinion, on direct links. What I think we should understand was there a direct link for Adolf Hitler in Pearl Harbor? No, but there was a common enemy here, who the Nazis and the Japanese imperialists were allied without necessarily coordinating every activity, and we're rather narrow minded when we say, well, unless there's a direct link, then these people don't really count. This is not surprising. I mean, I respect that because we went through that in the 1940s. I mean, when Japan attacked us, there was a great movement here in America to declare war on Nazi Germany because there was, they didn't attack us. The fact of the matter is that we understand that this is not just a bunch of isolated instances, unconnected. They are very much connected by a common ideology. Necessarily identical in their theology, but a common ideology and a common desire to defeat the West.
Senator, can you respond to the Democratic Senate candidate in Connecticut, Ned Lamont? Says the Bush administration's involvement in Iraq has actually weakened American national security, that we're investing resources which should be used in the war against terrorists elsewhere. Can you respond to that?
I don't know what he means by the war against terrorists elsewhere.
Well, in London or in wherever they are.
Well, all I can tell you, I'm not debating Mr. Lamont. He's not my opponent. But all I can say is that, this matter for 5 years almost, we have not had a terrorist incident here in the United States. You know, with all due respect to Mr. Lamont and all those folks who have been critical of our war plans, we must be doing something right. It's not like these people don't want to attack us. It's not like these people aren't coming after us and thinking how they can hurt the United States. we get absolutely no credit from the fact that Americans since 9/11 have not been attacked here in this country. So the objective is to keep America safe. Mr. Lamont and my opponent, Mr. Casey, would like to garrison the United States. I don't think that's a realistic possibility. And why would we want to invite them here to test our defenses? What we want to do, and what the President and I have strongly supported, is to aggressively go after them on the offensive where they are, disrupt their networks where they live, and them through a much more robust intelligence capability. That is the better approach than garrisoning the United States of America against an attack. Okay, if that's it, then I'll wrap it up. Thank you all very, very much. Can you hear me?
Hello? Senator?
All right.
One more question?
Okay, last one.
Since everybody else has already commented on the significance of Tuesday's election, is it related all to this whole topic? Last Tuesday, the Lieberman loss.
What about it?
Does it relate to anything that you've just been talking about? Do you see any connection?
Well, I mean, look, I wasn't up there in Connecticut. I mean, I only hear what you guys reported as to what the issues were up there. But obviously, the war was an important element that, I don't think there's any question that if the election in Connecticut were today, there'd probably be a very different result. One of the big problems with this war is that when we have such gaps in time between attempted attacks on the United States and our allies, particularly close to home, we tend to forget that this is an enemy that still hates us and wants to go after us. And I think this is an opportunity to, at least I hope the President takes this as an opportunity to lay out a new course, a different course, and re-explain what we're involved in here and the complexity and difficulty of the job ahead.